Welcome, Kate.
Is it okay if I stay down here? You don't mind if I stay down here, do you? I'm kind of short, but, you know, God loves short people better than tall people. I have scripture, because this is a scriptural church, right? You believe the word of God, right? Okay, remember, Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Okay. One of my friends says, "Yes, but there's a verse that says, I am high and lifted up." So God has us all covered, right? Amen. It's so good to be here with you today. And wow, God is good. Wasn't that worship powerful? Whoa. I love when you can come into a place and, I mean, the anointing is just there. You know, sometimes just the music can break bondages and answers can flow and we're just blessed. And I know we're going to be blessed today. I'm blessed to be here. Amen. And I am expecting God to do great things. Are you expecting? Yes. I believe when we come expecting, we're not going to leave disappointed, but we're going to receive. I believe I'm on a mission today. Amen. I came all the way from Michigan. Woohoo! To beautiful California. Hallelujah. And I know that God has something supernaturally just special for each and every one of us today. I really believe that. So let's pray, okay? Father, we thank you today. Thank you for, first of all, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful church and these precious people. Thank you for our pastors. Lord, you said you would give us pastors after your very own heart. And that's what you've done in this area, Lord. What a blessing. Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you today for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for divine grace deposits, truth impartations being made into our spirits today. And Father, I thank you that not one of us will leave like we came, but we're going to leave changed by your glory in Jesus' mighty name. And if you agree with that, please say amen. Great. All right. If you would, I'd like to read out of Isaiah. So we're going to turn to Isaiah 42. And I love the word of God. Praise the Lord. We are getting a lot of our books translated. We have plenty of them like in French and Estonian and things I can't even, you know, pronounce. But I went through my office one day and I opened it up and it's so funny to see your picture with all these different looking words that, you know. And so we discovered, it's like we got to get a Spanish translation. So that's awesome. We're working on that. Amen. We have it all translated and everything. And then I said, wait, I need a word person to read through it to make sure we said everything nice. Nothing weird in there. Okay, so if you ever get one, you see something, you let me know if it's strange, but it won't be. Amen. I love the word. I love books. You know, the Bible is still the best-selling book in the world. The number one selling book. I love books. You know, our name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't say iPad, does it? But anyways, however you read your books, it's okay. Wouldn't that be someone says, your name's written in the iPad Book of Life. But your name's in that book. And isn't it awesome to think how much God loves us? You know, the Bible says that he engraved our name in the palm of his hand. And one translation says our image is in the palm of God's hand. Isn't that awesome? So, I mean, every time God lifts his hand, he's got to see you. Amazing. I mean, every time, you know, he just makes a motion. There you are. He's staring at you and you're looking at him. You're on the mind of God. And as I was just really praying and seeking the Lord what he wanted for today, I just felt like God told me to encourage you to believe for restoration. I really feel like God dropped that in my spirit. Believe for restoration. Because that's what he wants to do, okay? So here in Isaiah, this is the King James version that I'm going to be reading out of. But Isaiah 42, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Okay, verse 22. And I'm going to kind of read the latter part because it's kind of long, okay? But it says, this is a people robbed, spoiled. They are all of them snared in houses. They are hid in prison houses. They are like prey, and they have no one to deliver them for a spoil because there's no one shouting restore. And I was reading that one day, and just there's different translations, but it says they were in houses of bondage, plundered, you know, stuck in those prisons of bondage, Because simply, there was no one to shout, restore. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to shout, restore. Amen. Because God is a restorer. You know, you look at people that maybe restore vehicles. One guy, you know, that's what he did his whole life, and then he became a preacher. But he was in the restoration business. And you could take a vehicle that had been in a horrible accident, and they send that car in, and whatever they do to it, you know, they fix it all up, shine it up, repaint it, do all that. And that car comes out shining, and it doesn't even look like it'd gone through anything. And matter of fact, sometimes you can find them looking better than before. Amen. I believe you're going to look better than before. You're going to come out shining. I believe you're going to just look better than you've ever looked. Sometimes I think we have to remind ourselves who we are. You know, when I first started serving the Lord, the message that God burned in my heart was the subject of favor. And that was the first book I wrote, was on the blessing of favor, because it was something God really dropped in my heart. I needed to know who I was. I needed to know who God said I was. You know, the Bible says that God has crowned us with favor. You got a crown of favor on your head. Matter of fact, it says in Psalm 5:12 that favor surrounds us like a shield. So one great way to pray when you get up in the morning, you could say, Lord, I claim favor today. I thank you, Lord, that people are going out of their way to bless me and to do good to me today. I thank you, Lord, I got my favor crown on, and I got favor surrounding me as a shield. And one good way to pray is, Lord, I thank you that everybody who comes in contact with me today, they're going to bump into my favor shield first. Oh, amen. You got like that invisible shield of favor. You know what I love about favor? You cannot earn favor. Just like you can't earn your salvation. How many of you found that out? You can't earn your salvation. One great way, you know this, you can ask people if they're born again, are you saved? And you know, when they answer you and say, well, I think so. Or when they answer you and say, I'm a good person. They don't really have the revelation yet of what God says, right? How many of you know that it's not by our works that we're saved, right? It's by believing what Jesus did. And how many of you believe? I'm a believer. Are you a believer? I found out something. If you believe, you will receive. Right? But if you doubt, you're going to do without. I don't know why I just have to do that to your hair if you don't mind. So cute. You don't care, do you? Oh, yeah. He's helping me. He's so cute. I have a feeling I could pick on you today. He looks pickable, you know. I'm sure you get given a hard time. Is that right? Oh, you give the hard time. Oh, okay. Anyways. He got favor, hair favor, you know? Yeah, exactly. Hallelujah. God's good. I don't know why I did that. He's just cute. That's right. It's very, yeah, thank you. Thank you. But you got God's favor. So it's on your head, in other words. It's a crown of favor. And sometimes, you know, we can forget who we are. We can let that favor slide a little bit. But if we believe, we're going to receive. And if we doubt, we're going to do without. And I found out something. If you doubt and pout, you really do without. In other words, complain. How many of you know if we complain, we remain? But if we praise, we'll be raised. Have you ever thought you really prayed and then the Lord showed you really complained the whole prayer time? Right? It's like you didn't really pray. You just unloaded, which there's nothing wrong with talking to God. But if we're praying for results, we got to get in some faith, right? And trust Him. But you got to remember who you are and really have faith. Our part always, if we study scripture, our part always is simple, and that is to believe. It's to believe. And I love that faith really is a choice. How many of you are glad you can make a decision no matter how you feel, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the devil's saying, no matter what your checkbook is saying or not saying, right? No matter how your body feels, or, you know, we don't have to look at any of that. We can choose to trust God, and we can choose to believe Him. And the awesome thing is, once we do that, then our circumstances will line up with what it is we're believing. Right? And I want to encourage you today, will you believe for restoration? How many of you believe God can do more for you in this season of your life than ever before. Come on, the more you're seeking God, the more you want the right thing. You know, think about this. Like, have you ever, not really with all your heart, gone after God, and yet He still blessed you? How many of you had that happen? Well, now that you're really pressing in and seeking Him, do you think He's going to help you less now? No, come on, He's going to help you more. God's on your side, so you got to be on your side. There's some great things that happen when you release your faith for restoration. I've seen it in so many people's lives. I've seen it in one minister. He pastors the second largest church in America. Joel Osteen's number one. This guy's number two. But I was at a minister's conference, and he was sharing. Well, excuse me, I was watching it on YouTube, but I felt like I was in there. Okay. They were at the minister's conference. I was viewing. You know, I want to be exact. Okay, but anyhow, I was listening and watching. And he shared, like, just some of his mistakes he made. And I don't know about you, but when preachers share their mistakes, it blesses me. That sounds crazy, but when they say, oh, I messed up, I go, whoo, thank you, Jesus, there's hope for me. Come on, tell your neighbor there's hope for you. Thank you. I mean, does that sort of bless you to know that, you know, people are human too? Thank you, brother. Right? He shared one of his biggest bloopers, blunders, failures, sins, you know. But he got before God, and the Lord told him to believe for restoration. So he started believing for restoration. And if I was looking in the natural, you'd think, oh, he ain't going to make it. That's, you know, you think that's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. He can fix anything. Come on. He is the mender of the brokenhearted. He's the healer. He's the great physician. He's our provider. He loves helping you. He loves you. He believes in you. And this guy used his faith for such restoration that he was in the traveling ministry, and he ended up being a pastor and then ending up having the second largest church in America. Come on, God is a good God. And I've been blessed by this man's teaching so many times, and I'm so glad he didn't give up. I'm so glad that guy decided to believe for restoration. How many of you know God can do a quick work too? Tonight, for those of you that can come back tonight, I'm going to hopefully be able to, I'm sure they can do this, but I have a picture maybe we can show up on the screen. But about 2 years ago, my cousin, who I love dearly, ended up in a coma. So she got real sick, went to the emergency room. She ended up in a coma. And they told the whole family, she's just, that's it, you know, she's not going to make it. Well, we prayed over her. And we're like, we're not giving up. What's the Bible say in James? That if you lay hands on the sick, well, that's in the gospel. But James says, call for the elders of the church. They'll pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick or heal the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. So when I went to visit my cousin, I said, Lord, she needs big time restoration. Big time. She had an asthma attack and then all this stuff happened. And so she needed to be restored. In looking in the natural, and I can't wait to show you the picture tonight, because I was in the room, and can you believe, ladies, I'm like, Lord, I'm going to have to get my cousin to forgive me for taking a picture of her like that. But I remember the Lord saying, do you believe she's healed? And I go, yes, Lord. I felt like the Lord was saying, you're going to wish you had a before and after picture. Oh, I said, yes. And then my head went, oh, what if you take it? And, you know, the devil's like, what if it don't work? Come on. Preachers still have those thoughts, you know. I said, no, we prayed. How many of you have ever gone through a tug of war in your brain? Oh, yeah, if someone could just see you, what's going on in there, woo. Come on, how many of you are like, shut up, devil, I rebuke you. No, come on. Then you're encouraged, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, get behind me, Satan. Oh, come on. You're like, woo, man. You ever been at a stoplight and you're like going after it? You're like, man, someone just turn up the music. You know, I had someone pull up. Oh, and then I'm just pretending I'm praising, not praising, listening to music, whatever. Because, you know, you're just binding and loosening and praying and whatever, taking your authority, all that, okay. So I had all these thoughts going on. And so I took her picture and I told my dad, I said, I'm not going to ever show this picture without her permission. So I hid it. Well, she couldn't say no because she was on life support. But I had to wait for a yes, of course. So we did all that. Well, my head was telling me there is no way. And the hospital that she was in, In my area where I live, it's mainly Muslim doctors, and they're precious. But none of them that I know of in there believed in miracles. And so we would tell them, you're going to see a miracle. And I said, I believe the Lord's going to use you to help bring healing to my cousin. Thank God for doctors, right? Oh, how many thank God for doctors? Luke was a doctor, right? So we were doing that. Well, we started going daily praying. So I remember praying for her right when I left for a trip to go to Louisiana, right before Thanksgiving. Well, Christmas comes around, so a month passes. Then it's New Year's Eve, and on. She's still in a coma, not moving anything. We were there. They had to do some surgeries, you know, to drain the fluid out of her lungs, all that stuff. And, I mean, you saw the machines, everything. In the natural, it didn't look like she could be restored. And then they said, well, there's probably brain damage and everything. So they would even encourage us to just let her go because they said, well, when she wakes up, you know, she's brain dead. She'll be brain dead. And so I thought, well, that's not restoration if you wake up and you're crazy. Come on. If God restores, we're believing all the way restoration. Matter of fact, if you study the scripture, when God restores, it's called restoration plus. In other words, you get interest. You know, if money's missing out of your account, you might have had a good some interest in that account, right? A little interest rate, or maybe you have a CD or whatever, you got some interest rate. And so we're like, no, we're believing for restoration plus. And I believe God's going to give you back what the enemy stole. But not only that, you're going to get it back with interest. You're going to be stronger than you've ever been. You're going to reach more people than you have ever reached. Listen, and I believe some of you, by the time God's done blessing you and restoring you, Satan is going to wish that he never launched an attack against your life because of the people that you're going to reach. Come on. And the miracle after miracle that's going to come out as a result of your miracle. Amen to that. Well, when we went to pray for my cousin, I was talking to her sister. We're all very close family. And so I was talking to her sister. And she's the other strong Christian in the family. And how many of you have some like that in your family? They just hook up with you. Okay, I have one. Amen. Believing for more. The others sort of go along, you know. Amen. Smile, whatever. But this is a faith cousin. I like faith people. And so I was talking to her and I go, what do you feel in your spirit for your sister? She goes, well, when I pray, all I keep hearing or picturing in my heart is Lazarus come forth. I said, well, amen. Lazarus come forth. It is. So her name is Fran, and we were calling her Fran Fine. Amen, Fran Fine. Okay, anyways, Fran is fine. We were calling her healed, so we gave her a new name. But we were believing, just like literally, it looked like it needed a Lazarus come forth situation, right? Okay, so 40 days, my cousin was in a coma, I think 41 maybe. But 40 days, can you imagine every day you're going praying, and they're not moving, they're not responding. I mean, she didn't blink, move a pinky, nothing. There was no response whatsoever. And then they're telling us if she does wake up, she's going to be brain dead. But we started shouting the verse that we started out with, saying, God will restore. And when we first went to pray for her, we didn't look at her chart or her record to see how good she'd been all her life or all the mistakes that she had done. You know, in James, you can never see where the Lord said he'll raise them up only if they've done the right thing. It actually says, and if they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. Because a lot of times the devil will lie to you and tell you, well, you can't be healed because you haven't been eating right. You can't be healed because you smoked or whatever your problem might have been, right? But don't listen to the lies of the enemy, because the devil will always bring you the negative and always give you the reason why you can't be blessed. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't let the devil steal from you anymore. Don't let condemnation rob you. Come on, don't let the devil do it. So we started believing, and we said, she's Lazarus come forth. And her sister would call me and say, hey, have you got the update today on Lazarus? I said, not yet, but we know Lazarus is coming forth. Right? So we kept praying. Well, long story short, after 40-something days, one day, she opened her eye real quick, blinked and shut it. Well, we shouted. I mean, come on, if you hadn't seen anything in all that time. So we started shouting, thank you, Jesus. Come on. And we're shouting, restore. And I just kept praising God. How many of you know we have inside information? We got information on the inside, right? We've got the Word of God. We know things because of what God has said. So my cousin and I, we're believing she'd be raised up, you know. So I was going in there every day. Well, she did that, and then we praised God. We're thanking God. Thank you, God. Come on. Instead of looking at what you don't have, start looking at the good things you do have. I mean, if you're in a battle, let's say you're in a money battle. I don't care if you get 10 cents increase or $1 increase. Start rejoicing over that. Make it a big deal. Because how many of you know whatever you make a big deal of gets bigger? So we make a big deal of God moving in that area. We started thanking God, shouting that, restore, restore. And then after blinking, she moved. I don't know if it was a pinky or just her hand or something like that. So we shouted about that. Woo! You know, we're thanking God. They go, well, we could send her down for a scan from head to toe. But they had to keep waiting because they thought she'd die on the way for the scan. So all that time, she couldn't even get to, you know, get a scan. Well, we go, scan her. Get her down there. She's healed. They go, well, we want to do that to see if there's any brain activity. So we go, well, we believe there is. They send her down, come back. They go, this beats anything we've ever seen. She has absolutely nothing wrong from her from head to toe. I mean, not a bump, not a nodule. You know, not a little growth, not a cyst, nothing. But she wasn't all the way, you know, awake yet. She wasn't awake yet. But they go, it's weird to not find anything. We teased her later, so we told you nothing was in there. But anyhow, but they said her brain activity, all that looks fine. They just were amazed. And she'd had such a high fever for so long, and they were just shocked, really. And so we're praising God and praising God. Well, so one night I went back up there, and I was going every day. I was just, you know, reading the Bible to her and stuff. And so I went to her room like I'd been doing all that time. And when I went in, the bed was made. Yeah, and you immediately think, I didn't think, oh, she made her bed. But anyhow, that'd be a good way to think, right? Positive. Oh, she cleaned her bed up real fast. Okay. But, you know, I walked in there, and my heart kind of sunk a little bit, you know, like. And I go, no, devil, I rebuke that. I've been praying. We've been believing for a miracle. So, Lord, I thank you. She must have woke up. They must have sent her to another room, the healed room, the better room, right? So I went up to the nurse's station, and I said, when did my cousin wake up? And the nurse looked at me like, nobody knows that yet. She goes, how did you know that? Who told you? Because we just moved her like 10 minutes ago. So they go, who told you? How do you know that? I go, I got inside information. That's all I said. So they think someone in the hospital, you know, told me. Because they wanted to tell the immediate family first, you know, and someone let it out. So, yeah, it was God. It was the Holy Ghost. And so I didn't have time to preach. I didn't feel like preaching to her, to be honest, because I was too excited. God will forgive me. Okay, but anyhow. So I was so excited. I just said, I got inside information. And I said, what's the room number? So they gave me the room number. And I ran down to her room at the hospital, praising God, thanking God. I get in there. She's sitting up. She's talking, but her voice is hoarse, you know, because she had that tube down. But she's saying words and talking, you know, to the loudest that she could. But she looked so good. And she didn't even know anything happened. I go, we've been doing a lot since you've been taking a nap. I mean, we've been, you know, a lot of work anyways. So, you know, she was just sitting up and everything, and she recovered so fast, which tonight I'll try to show you that picture. But I mean, the doctors were amazed, and now here 2 years later, she's doing awesome, no problems, fully recovered. Matter of fact, she says, I feel better than I've ever felt. Because God brought that supernatural restoration to her life. She goes, I've never felt so good. And she said, you know, when I woke up, Kate, and I was just sitting here thinking about stuff, I said, well, I was trying to see if, you know, she had any big revelation. Did Jesus appear to her? Did she, you know? And she goes, no, I was just sitting here thinking about that story you told how you sold your house. I go, from 1999? She said, yeah, that one. And it was just a story on believing God, you know, shared with her about praying for my house to sell, and it did right on time. And so that's the one she was thinking about. Isn't that amazing? I go, anything else? Nope, that's it. I go, well, how do you feel? She goes, I feel great. And I'll tell you what, God is so good. You talk about restoration. Well, we got a report from a lady that worked there, a nurse, and they were saying, healing evangelist cures woman in ICU. And then it says something about ICU being cleaned out by preacher. Because while I was there, I prayed for, you know, a lot of people in all the rooms, you know. And so I told them, I said, well, you got that a little bit wrong because I didn't clear out anything. I didn't heal anybody. But Jesus did. And all of us agreed in prayer, of course. And so one of them said, two Muslim doctors were talking to each other. And they said, there was a miracle. And they said, we've never seen anything like it. They said, this lady who's a preacher in the family would come and lay hands. That's all they knew to say is lay hands. And she spoke in some really different foreign language. Like, oh, they must have heard me talking in that other language. Amen. And so do you know what happened? One of the Muslim doctors called me aside. He goes, could I talk to you for a minute? I said, well, sure. So he's telling me all this, and then he brought up prayer. He brings up the prayer thing, and I don't know what he's going to say, but he said, my wife's been battling cancer. Would you mind praying for her? I said, I'd be honored to pray for her. And I mean, this miracle just, I mean, it just keeps on rolling. And now my cousin is sharing the gospel with people, telling them what Jesus can do for them. And you know what she says all the time? Don't receive the guilt. The devil will try to tell you, you know, bring all the things back you've done wrong and you don't deserve it. She said, I just took God's goodness. What's the Bible say? It says, surely, whose name is Shirley in here? Where's Shirley? Shirley, where are you? Hi, Shirley. Will you stand up? You don't mind, do you? Like you could say otherwise, right? Okay. Shirley! Woo! This service is for you today, Shirley. But it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Isn't that awesome? Thank you. And you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, goodness and mercy. Will you guys help me out real quick? Would you stand up? Come here real quick. All right, we got, what, 15 minutes left? I don't have my cheater glasses on. Okay, you stand here. Come over here. Side by side, like facing me. Look at me. Yeah, there you go. Good. Good job. Perfect. Okay. Boy, they're sharp. No, you're sharp. You're sharp. Bold, too. Okay. Okay, who wants to be goodness? Okay. Goodness, mercy. Yeah, there we go. Goodness, mercy. Okay, hang on. All right, so the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy. You get saved. You receive Jesus as your Savior. The Lord says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Come on, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah, just stay. Surely goodness and mercy follow me. See that? I bumped right into goodness. Mercy smashed me. Come on, isn't that awesome? And even if you're going on your journey and, you know, you got goodness and mercy, you can't always see it because they're right following you, right? But what happens if you make a wrong turn? They're still there. Come on. You ever make a wrong turn? How about on the GPS? It says, recalculating. Recalculating. Make a U-turn. So I'm going the wrong way, because in Michigan we go left for going right. That'll preach too. It's a Michigan turn. Okay. Sometimes you got to go left to get right. All right, that's a Michigan thing. So here you're going along, and what happens if you miss it? You pray. You ask God to forgive you. Lord, I receive my forgiveness. Come on, how many of you know? They haven't left, have they? Still there. Have you ever fallen into a pit? You know, the Lord said He lifts us out of a pit It doesn't matter how you got in that pit. Come on, you might have fallen in accidentally, right? You might have slipped in that pit. Worse, like Joseph, maybe someone did you wrong and they threw you in that pit. You don't deserve to be in that pit. But some people get in those pits. Probably the worst one is, you saw the pit? You know what I'm going to say, right? Yeah, you saw it right there, and what'd you do? You just whoop, dove right in. Did God say He'd forget about you? Nope. The minute you call out to God, come on, what happens? There you look behind you, and surely, goodness and mercy. You're not getting tired of me, are you? All right, yeah. She's like, no, see that? Come on, they're still following me. She said, of course not. What a blessing. Look, all the days of my life, because I gave my heart to the Lord, His goodness and mercy is always there, ready to help you up out of that pit. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give goodness and mercy a hand. Good job. So if we trust God, He's there. He will restore. And He has restored my cousin's life. The good news is He'll restore your life. His love for you is never ending. And you got to shake off the guilt, shake off the condemnation. How many of you know the Holy Ghost will never condemn you? He convicts us sometimes. He'll want to deal with you. He'll want to show you some things. But the Holy Ghost never condemns. That's the voice of the enemy. A condemnation is not God's voice. Sometimes your own voice tries to condemn you. Sometimes other people. But what you got to do is shake it off and say, no, God will restore. I shall restore. Listen, Jesus bore your shame. You ever have people say to you growing up, shame on you? You ever had that said to you? After I got saved and started looking in the Word, I'd say, no shame on me. Jesus bore all my shame. I'm not receiving that. Amen. Next time someone says that, I mean, don't yell at them or anything. But receive God's mercy and goodness. Come on, the Bible says it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. It's that mercy. Listen, just straighten up your crown a little bit. You've been crowned with favor. Come on. You are royalty. And the devil's always after your crown. Sometimes, you know, it may be sideways. Sometimes you forgot who you were and you forgot to put that crown on. Put it back on. I love the story I read about this young man was getting released out of jail. And I don't know how long he'd been there, but he'd made some big mistakes. And so he sent his parents a letter, wrote them a letter, and several times they didn't want anything to do with him because, you know, all the stuff that had gone on. But he was getting released, and so he wrote a letter to his father, and he says, this is the day I'm getting out, and I'm going to be on such and such train that went into their town. He said, I don't blame you if you don't receive me back. I don't blame you for not wanting to have anything to do with me. He said, but I'm going to be on the train, and he said, I'll look out the window, and if you tie a ribbon, a yellow ribbon, on this one tree that he had played on growing up, he said to his dad, if I see a yellow ribbon tied on that particular tree, I'll know that you'll receive me and it'll be okay. He said, then I'll get off at that stop. And he said to his dad, now if you don't do that, I don't blame you. If I don't see a ribbon, that yellow ribbon on that tree, he said, I don't blame you one bit for not receiving me back. But if it's not there, then I'll know to just go on down the road. So that day came, he'd been released, and he's on the train getting closer to town, getting closer. And as they were getting closer, you know, just his heart was racing and all that was going on. And so they're getting closer, and finally he couldn't stand it. And they said he shut his eyes and he asked the guy on the train, he said, I can't stand to look. Would you tell me what you see? And as we get closer, tell me what you see out there if you see the ribbon. So the guy has his eyes closed, you know, they're getting closer. And he says, do you see it? Do you see it? And all of a sudden the guy says, nope, I don't see a yellow ribbon. He said, I see hundreds of ribbons. He said, they're on every post, every tree, every branch. I mean, the father had literally gone out and tied probably thousands of ribbons everywhere, come on, so that son would know you are welcome here and how much he loved him unconditionally. Oh, come on, when you get a revelation of that, God has tied that ribbon. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He believes in us. Come on. And that's how much He wants to restore your life. Listen, just give it to God. He can fix anything. He can fix how you feel about situations, how you feel about that person, how you feel about yourself. But you got to just reach out. He is ready. The devil's there to steal your crown. Don't let him steal the crown. You got that crown of favor. Don't give up your restoration. You're so close. You know that in my own life, the biggest breakthroughs I have ever had, ever in my life, seem to come right on the heels of the biggest attack. How many of you ever had a big attack? But I can tell you, after many, many years of being in the ministry and traveling all over, whenever there's an attack, you look out because there is a huge breakthrough right around the corner. I mean, waiting for you. Amen. And if you purpose in your heart, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to have my restoration. How many of you believe you'll be restored? And not only that, you'll be restored stronger than before, better than before. Amen. My brother, for years, didn't serve God. I got saved when I was 16. And he was an alcoholic. And he'd make fun of me all the time. He'd walk right up to me and go, "Praise the Lord." I mean, giving me a hard time. Criticizing me, you know, and all that. I wasn't judging him, but I'd say, "Well, don't judge me." You know how it is, family stuff. But so I'm praying for him. And I said, "You're doing good, because one day you will be praising the Lord with me." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and your household." So I was believing for him. And so one day I was out preaching, and I'll never forget, you know, I was on the road, and sometimes I would feel like, "Lord, I'm out here. Who's going to minister to my family?" You know? And I felt like the Lord was showing me that if I take care of his family, he'll take care of my family. How many of you do something in the church, some type of volunteer, or you sow some time? You put some time in here, right? The good news is, listen, that's a seed you're sowing of your life. God doesn't take that lightly. Come on, you're sowing into the family of God. And as you are, God's going to make sure that your family's getting blessed. You can't outgive God. So I was out preaching, and I got a phone call from my brother before cell phones, BC. That's good. Before cell. Okay. I get a call, and my brother is like, "Kate, remember that church you used to ask me to go to all the time?" I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "You're not going to believe this." I go, "Yeah, I'm going to believe it." But anyways, he said, "Something woke me up this morning. And I had this thought, you ought to go to church." I'm like, "Is he teasing me again or what?" You know. So he said, "I woke up this morning." He said, "I went to that church." He said, "I just want you to know I gave my life to the Lord. I got saved." And then I'm like, "Are you serious?" Come on, I'm like, are you serious? Okay. He says, "Yes, I gave my heart to the Lord. I got saved." I said, "Wow, that's awesome." And then he said, "What about that other stuff?" I said, "Oh, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost." He heard my mom and I talk about the Holy Spirit. Anyways, I prayed with him on the phone, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? Over the phone. Come on, talk about reaching out and touching somebody. That's awesome. So he came to hear me preach not long after that. He's real tall. How tall are you, brother? Can you stand up here? Yeah, about the same height. Look at that. Come over here. This is like use people day. Watch out. We won't be sitting on the front row tonight. Okay, anyhow. Look at that. He's tall. Handsome guy, right? Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, she just woke up. Whoa. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Gotcha. But my brother's 6'4". So he comes to hear me preach. Okay, and we're in service. He sings terrible. I mean, so off key and loud. But the Lord loves it. Beautiful to Jesus. Okay, anyhow. So he's standing in church, and he has his hands lifted all the way up next to me. He has his hands lifted all the way. His hands up. There you go. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's your part. Oh, I forgot to tell you this was a part. Okay. We are in California, right? I mean, they make movies here, don't they? Okay. So he's worshiping God. And you can stop. Thanks. And so he just kind of nudges me like this in the middle of service, and he nudges me and he leans over. He said, "Praise the Lord, Kate." Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And he'd been saying that for years to me. "Praise the Lord, Kate." Do you know now I can be in an airport like way over there, and all of a sudden someone goes, "Praise the Lord, Kate." I mean, that saying is known around the world because of my brother. But God is using him now. It's been over 25 years now. 25 years. Let me tell you what the Lord did. God instantly delivered him from drinking. He hasn't had a drop since that day. Isn't God good? And now he mentors young men and he brings them in and he helps them get delivered. And I hear it over and over again from young men saying, I was so bound, but your brother prayed for me and mentored me, and now I'm free. Isn't God good? God is a restorer. Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to pray. God wants to restore your life. He wants to restore the lives of your children. Because it matters to you, right? How many of you ever heard people say to you, if it matters to you, it matters to God? Well, someone said that to me one day, and I was like, where is the verse for that? I like scripture. You know, I want to back it up with the Bible, right? And then one day I was reading in Psalm 138, verse 8. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns us. In other words, he's going to take care of it. He's going to work it out for your good. Amen? Because he cares for you. And I'm telling you, God worked it out for my brother. Restored his family, his children, his job. I mean, just everything. God's no respecter of persons. Amen? He wants to do it for you. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much today. God, we thank you that you are bringing restoration to the lives of your people. And God, we are not going to be a people plundered in houses of bondage for not shouting restore, but we will say restore. God, and we will believe for restoration. Oh, we thank you. Now, Father, I pray for every person that you would bring restoration to their life this day. I pray for a speedy restoration, acceleration. I pray that God would restore you in every area. I pray God will restore your confidence. I pray that God would restore your peace. Oh, yes, and that you will have beauty for ashes. God, I thank you. You're turning things around today. You're restoring relationships because of the blood. We're reconciled to one another. Lord, I pray for those that need restoration in their finances. I pray for you today that money would be restored to you. Lord, I thank you. Money that was stolen, money that's been missing, they've gotten taken advantage of. I thank you. You're going to restore money to them with interest. Woo! And we thank you. You're going to do a quick work. God, we thank you for supernatural restoration. Restoration in our bodies. Restoration in our mind. Restoration in our relationships. Oh, God, we thank you. You are turning it around today. You're rerouting people right now, God. We thank you for that. And God, I thank you. This is a turning point for them today. For all of us today. May this be our turning point and we'll never be the same. We give you the glory and the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus. You can be seated for just a moment. If you would, just close your eyes. I'm just going to pray for you. If you've never received Jesus, just like my brother wasn't saved, he didn't know the Lord. And it's so simple to have your sins washed away and to receive the Lord. Just so easy. Just believing on Jesus. It's just so simple. So I'm just going to pray for you. Would you just bow your heads for just a moment if you would? I'll lead you in a prayer. And I'm just going to ask everyone in here. I'm going to pray. And I would ask that you would just repeat these words after me. But just let it come from your heart. God's going to do a great work. Just say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus died for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In making me new. Now take my life. Do something great with it. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I believe. Amen. Amen. It's so simple. If you prayed that, you really meant it, then you're born again, the Bible says. You know, the scripture says that when one person gives their heart to the Lord, all of heaven rejoices. So heaven is having a party over you today. Amen. Even if you've been away from God and you prayed, listen, your sins just got wiped out. So when you leave here this morning, I want you to walk out of here like royalty. Come on, with your head up, held high, as though you never missed it. Come on, it was the devil that tempted you anyways. It was the devil that got in there anyhow. And how many of you would like to get the devil back? I would. How'd you like to get the devil back for the way he's made you feel about some stuff? Anybody? Yeah. Well, then you do it by going out of here with your head up, knowing you're forgiven, knowing that God has a great, great, great plan for your life, and knowing that you are full of favor. Amen? Okay, so the scripture says nobody would shout restore, but not in this house. So let's take 1 second now and you shout restore over that thing you're believing for restoration. Somebody come on, say restore! Woo! I believe it's done. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Whoa, what a word.